Before we get started with this episode of the always pressing PGA DFS podcast, a couple things to talk to you about. First, Superdraft, great new way to play daily fantasy sports, and it's not like the rest. It's a multiplier system, so no pricing. You play the players you want to play. It just depends on how much risk you want to take. So go check it out. Superdraft in your app store, promo code Bubba when you create your first account, and when you do that, you'll get a $10 deposit bonus. So Superdraft, promo code Bubba, takes care of the whole thing. Also, go check out FanshareSports.com. They've been a good friend of the podcast for a long, long time. They're introducing NBA to the season. They're the best in the business at ownership projections, quality content. Can't wait to see what they have for NBA coming up here. They crush it in golf. They crush it in football. So go check out FanshareSports.com. Use promo code ALWAYSPRESS, all one word, to get you 20% off the package of your choice. Last but not least, leave a rating and review on iTunes. We'd much appreciate it. It would help the podcast out quite a bit. But for now, welcome to the Always Pressing PGA DFS podcast, previewing the 2019 Shriners Hospital for Children's Open.
Lay. Sir. Yeah. Yeah.
Kane is in the building.
Yeah. It's alright, already the show goes on all night. Till the morning we dream so long. Anybody ever wonder when they will see the thunder? Just remember when you come up.
Back, everybody, to another episode of the Always Pressing PGA DFS podcast, previewing the 2019 Shriners Hospitals for Children Open, otherwise known as the Shriners Open. You can find us on Twitter at Always Press DFS. And if you give a rating and review on iTunes, we truly would appreciate it. I am on Twitter at BDintric. And my co-host, as always, to help break down this week of PGA Tour action, is on Twitter at DFS Golf Gods. Jesse, how are we doing, man?
I'm good, dude. How are you?
Doing good, doing good. It's Monday, it's feeling like fall finally out here, which is amazing. So it's good. It's very, very good.
It's in the 90s here, dude.
That's what we had towards the end of last week. So I know where you're coming from.
It's supposed to cool down at the end of this week, though. Yeah. So
yeah, we're into the 70s now. I haven't felt the 70s in a long time. So
yeah,
Pretty pumped on this. We woke up to play golf yesterday morning, and I haven't had to worry about it for the last like 4 months. Showed up in my shorts, my polo shirt, and everything, and I freaking was freezing for like 8 holes. It was crazy.
Yeah.
Wasn't expecting that one.
Yeah. So. Been there, done that.
Yeah, that time of the year. But fun tournament, I guess, Safeway. We can recap it real quick before we get into the Shriners. For those that live under a rock, Cam Champ picks up his second career win, and it's about just less than a calendar year from his last when he won the Sandersons last year. But the storyline for this one, for those that didn't know, I'd be shocked if you didn't, his father's in hospice care. He found out about it on Monday or Friday or something, last Friday.
His grandfather,
Papa. And I heard him talking after his Friday round where he was near the top of the leaderboard. He'd been staying, because his family's in the Sacramento area, so he's been staying there, which is about an hour to an hour and a half drive, give or take where he's at. I think if he's in Roseville, it's like almost 2 hours. So he's making that drive every day. He said he was showing up an hour before his rounds would start, and he'd play and then go back home. So the fact he did what he did with all that on his mind is pretty impressive. Do you have any thoughts on Cam Champ, who led the field in driving distance, in scrambling, and tee to green approach, everything pretty much? He did very, very well outside of maybe fairways hit and putting, but he was great this week.
Yeah, I mean, it is what it is. Like, he's one of those guys who, if it, you know, gets the putter going, then he can contend just about anywhere. I feel like that's been a big issue with him leading up to this event after the event he won last year. So, I mean, maybe he's just a fall warrior, or maybe this will propel him into a better regular season on the PGA Tour. We'll see. But big time win, and you know, obviously a great story.
Yeah, great story, big time win. I didn't realize it as much as it was, but hearing reports and stuff today, a lot of his problems last year was, A, you know, you're a rookie on tour, your first time visiting these places. That makes sense to me, and getting the whole schedule down and everything. But he had some, like, pretty good back problems last year. I didn't realize they were as bad as they were, and that might have had a lot to do with what was going on with Cam Champ. For a guy that's, you know, trying to bomb the ball and be as accurate as possible, that might have a little bit to do with it. So,
yeah, I didn't know that.
Yeah, and neither did I. I heard it, like, three different places today. That makes so much more sense why he struggled – yes. when he struggled. It was like, okay, bingo. That may, if they would have come out with that during the year last year, I think a lot of people would have laid off instead of typical, you know, Twitter and people of the world. Let's pile on the guy that everybody loved early in the year. Well, okay, he had a freaking back problem. Last time Tiger Woods had a back problem, I'm pretty sure people weren't piling on him. So, yeah, that was interesting to me. He's healthy now. We'll see how he keeps playing. But I think, you know, being on these courses, knowing the schedule, I think we're going to see a lot better Cam Champ. It's, you know, it's going to be tough, though, when you rely on bombing the ball. And if you're not accurate and your putter's off, he's going to have some bad weeks. But when it's all clicking, like you said, and he can kind of outplay everybody, he was hitting drives at Silverado that were just ridiculous, like 360-yard drives that were just stupid. So yeah. When you can do that and you literally would have like 80 yards into holes, I know I'm rambling here, but I was just in amazement on Sunday with it all on the line. He had 180-yard shot or something crazy into a par
198.
198, and he was going to hit a freaking 8-iron.
He hit an 8-iron. It did come up short.
But still, come that close, like I'm thinking the guy that hit 8-irons, like
it was close to pin high.
It was wild. It was crazy to watch.
369 right down the middle. He had a lot of run on that, I noticed, but that's about the only golf that I watch after Friday. But and then knocked it on, chipped it on there, and made him a little three and a half footer, and got the W. So
yeah,
big time win for him.
Yeah, the scrambling he had, some of the chips he made were pretty freaking impressive. But we don't have to go too much longer on Champ. It was awesome to see. I was glad he got it after everyone kind of thought gave him so much shit after his hot start and then nothing. But what other things really stood out to you? Like for me, Sebastian Munoz, another really good week, third week in a row. Some big missed cuts we were talking about before the show with Matsuyama and Nah and some of those guys. There was a lot of good and a lot of bad. But what takeaways maybe did you have from the week?
I didn't realize Munoz until I turned it on Sunday on the last hole that Munoz was in the final group with Cam Champion.
Did you see how he made the cut on Friday?
I did not.
I believe he birdied his last five holes or something like that.
He birdied four of his last five. Yeah, actually, that's crazy. No. He birdied three and made an eagle on 16. So birdie, eagle. Okay. Yeah. Birdie, par. He parred a par five there, par 18. But yeah, I mean, that guy's. I fully expected him to maybe, you know, make the cut or something, but to be in the final group again, what is kind of even odder is that he goes out and, you know, fires 76 and falls back quite a bit, you know, to a tie for 33rd, but he's obviously got it going. I would expect him to play a little bit better in that final group, especially with really no pressure on himself, or at least I wouldn't think he'd want to be putting pressure on himself after the W of the week before. But yeah, man, I mean, some stupid miscuts. Grillo missed a two footer. Yeah. Knocks it in so he missed a two footer for par to miss the cut. Kevin Na, I was on him too. Another Sep trunk slam.
Yep.
Saw a little 38 on the back to miss the cut by one. And then, yeah, man, Hideki, like, what the hell? Phil Mickelson too. He actually decent round coming back on Friday, but geez, man, whatever he has got going on, like he's seriously got to reconsider what he's doing with his golf game because he's fucking awful, dude.
Yeah, he's going to be in Vegas this weekend, so it'll be real interesting. I saw some stats since he won like Pebble Beach. I think he's played in 17 tournaments. I think he's missed 9 or 10 of those cuts. He's been a disaster. A little bit I saw of him Thursday afternoon on the coverage. It was the typical thing with him is he cannot get off the tee. His driver is everywhere right now. And I know that feeling. I've been there a lot. Like, but he's a pro and I'm not. And he's a mess right now. It's bad. And he's turning 50 soon. So maybe he can just head to the senior and play at a couple of PGA events here and there. Who knows?
You'd think he'd dominate the senior tour. But, I mean, his game is just all over the place. It's hard to not play him at those prices that they're like throwing him out there at, but it's like legit. He should be in the 6,000s this week probably.
Yeah, I think he's like 7,500 this week. We'll 73. Get to that, but it's 73. Jesus, did you? Okay, let's honest question. Did you ever think you'd see Phil at $7,300 ever on draft?
No, I mean
insane.
No.
Yeah, it's crazy. Any final thoughts on the Safeway Open, or you want to move on to Vegas?
Let's move on.
All right, let's get into it. The Shriners Hospital for Children's Open. It's been at TPC Summerlin quite a bit. Why don't you give us some past event history?
Yeah, so at TPC Summerlin, like you said, last year, Bryson DeChambeau was your winner, 21 under by one shot over Patrick Cantlay. The year before that, Patrick Cantlay was your champion, 9 under par in a playoff over Setchka and Wee Kim. I did see Wiley tweet something about I guess it was the weather was kind of bad that year. So that 9-under par is a big-time anomaly, because the year before that, Rob Pampling was the winner, 20-under par, two shots over Brooks Koepka. Smiley Kaufman has won this tournament, believe it or not. Did you know Smiley is now, like, grinding some mini-tour golf somewhere?
I heard that. He wasn't even on the Corn Ferry last week. He was, yeah, I can't remember the name of the tour was, but it was something bad. Like, it sucks. Sucks yeah, to hear.
Dude, real bad. I'm still a Smiley Kaufman fan. But ever since he bogeyed the 18th hole at the Masters, it's just been all downhill from there. Anyways, so, you know, the scores are going to get to probably close to 20 under for the winning score here. So a lot of birdies need to be had.
Yep, it's a birdie fest. I'm not going to go too deep on the course. It's pretty simple. It's a TPC Summerlin. They played here a ton. So we got course history out the yin yang. It's a par 71, 7,255 yards, but it doesn't play that long. It's at some elevation. It's super firm and fast. You're going to get a ton of roll. It's a less than driver course. Some guys will hit driver, but less than driver course. You hear a lot of guys saying it's all where you want to land in the fairways for your approach shot in, to be very aggressive there to get those birdies. It's tough to scramble around there. They say the Bermuda grass around the green is pretty tricky, but if you're familiar with it, you'll be just fine. It's Bermuda from tee to green. On the green, it's bent grass greens. They run about 11 on the stimp, so not super fast. So you don't have to be a great putter to play here. So some of the, you know, not so good putters might actually play well here. Not a lot of trouble. Like, you don't want to be in the rough because you want to stick it on the greens. You want to have control of it, but you're not going to be like dead if you're in the rough. It's pretty wide open. You can bomb and gouge it if you want. But like I said, most guys just want to play less than driver. I was reading stuff from when like Brooks usually plays, he's got a lot of irons in hand. But Brooks is also not human and can hit his ball a mile with an iron. But it's real simple. Just accuracy off the tee, good approach game in within, like, you know, good iron play to wedge play coming in. And like you said earlier, it's a birdie fest. A birdie or better is a big, big thing here. Take advantage of the par fives as well. All right, what kind of key stats are you looking at this week?
I mean, it's just your typical resort course stats. I mean, it's birdie or better. You know, hitting as close as you possibly can, and whoever's got the hottest putter. Did you see what Rory said about the European Tour?
Yeah, that kind of surprised me a little bit, considering some of the events he just doesn't play in, the kind of birdie fest, I guess, on the PGA. He plays in the, you know, Arnold Palmers and those, but it was surprising he said what he said.
I feel like both tours are, I don't know, it's like, it's, I understand that you can't do a whole heck of a lot, but I mean, I feel like some of these golf courses could be made a little bit tougher. And, you know, it's kind of like, you know, the same old shit every week. You know, it's birdie fest and whoever gets the
hot putter,
whoever makes the most putts, you know, mm-hmm. It's just a big time putting contest. And so anyways,
but it was kind of bad.
I agree
though,
with him.
I agree with him, but he picked a bad weekend to do it considering it was a pro-am. So they're not going to make the course that difficult for a pro-am. It was
I agree with that 100%. Like, yes, for sure. And then in the same week when Cameron Champ shoots 16 under par, 17 under par, you know, and then there's another 16 and a 14 and a 13, you know, over across. And I did see somebody tweet out too that, you know, over the last 31 events, the PGA Tour actually has lower scores. I mean, obviously they have better golfers. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that might be a factor, but, you know, I feel outside of the majors, like, it's just, you know, who can, you know, I guess make the most putts week in and week out.
Well, I guess it comes down to, because if we want to go on a little side note here, I guess there was like four or five hot drivers at the Safeway. Like they haven't revealed names yet, but similar to what happened to Xander at the British Open, that happened at Safeway. Now, so four or five guys had to replace driver heads. So there's that kind of deal. The technology we have is crazy. The no laying up guys are saying maybe they should all play like a restricted ball, like all play the same ball that's restricted. Make you actually have to play golf instead of just bomb and gouge. there's ways to go about it, but it's just tough to kind of, with the technology and the way the players are built these days, it's hard to regulate it so much unless you start building courses. Like the one that always sticks out to me is like the Valspar Copperhead, where you actually have to make shots.
Yes.
You can't just bomb and gouge it.
Right.
Now, if you have to make all courses like that, or they're like, otherwise there's going to be birdies to be had.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
I mean, I know they play a lot of, like resort courses, and they're easy to begin with because, you know, the resorts members want people to come back. Yeah. You know what I mean? But, at the same time, it's just, you know, I don't know. I feel like we could do something PGA Tour, but anyway, rant over. Let's move it right along here.
Yeah, there is things they can do. That's for sure. All right, let's get into FanShare Sports real quick before we get to the DraftKings. If you want to join up at FanShare Sports, they got football, they have golf right now, and they might have a few more things coming down the pipeline here. You might want to keep an eye on that one. As if you go to their webpage now, one of the sports is on top of the top page. It says NBA, so that's coming your way, and maybe a few more things down the pipeline. If you want to get your memberships at FanShare Sports, use promo code ALWAYSPRESS, all one word. Guys coming in good form. Last six events, when it comes to DK scoring, Sebastian Munoz leads the way at $9,500. Brooks at 92. You got Morikawa, Webb, Finau. JT Poston's fifth. Matthew Wolf, Harold Varner is eighth in this field. That's pretty impressive. Sabs and Joaquin Neiman coming in at 10th in this one. If you look at guys playing on bent grass over the last six events that really score well on bent grass, you have Patrick Cantlay leading the way, averaging almost 105 points over the last six events on bent grass. Brooks, Matthew Wolf, Charlie Danielson is on the list. Colin Morikawa, Zach Wright, Lucas Glover, Joaquin Neiman. Neiman's name yet again. A couple more things before we get through this one. The last four events at the Shriners with DraftKings scoring. Some guys only played a couple events, but like DeChambeau's played three of the last four. He's averaging over 101 points. Ryan Palmer, Patrick Cantlay's played well here. Aaron Wise, over three events, averaging almost 90 points. Chasen Hadley, over three events, averaging almost 89 points. So something to look at there. And last but not least, if you go on the first page, which got course form, course history, two green dots is very, very good. Joaquin Neiman, Patrick Cantlay, Cam Champ, Peter Uihlein, Aaron Wise, Sebastian Munoz, and many more coming in really good form and really good course history at the Shriners. All right, Jesse, let's get cracking. We got five guys over $10,000. Brooks Koepka at 11.7, Cantlay at 11.1, Bryson at 10.7, Webb at 10.2, and Adam Scott at 10,000. Where are you looking up here?
I feel like they're all playable for, you know, obviously different reasons. Bryson's the defending champ. Webb is, he's Webb. I mean, he's not missed a cut here since 2010. He actually won it back in 2013. Scott played pretty well last week. I mean, he's not doing anything. It's, I mean, he had basically two really good rounds, you know, and two terrible rounds sandwiched in between. So, I mean, maybe if he, you know, figures it out, gets it going there or whatever. I'd be looking really more towards, like, Cantlay is the top of my model, first and second here the last 2 years. Made the cut last week, so, you know, nothing super great out of him, but, you know, he might be super chalky. I'm not 100% sure yet. And then Brooks, man, I mean, why not? I don't know. Like, he's the class of this field for sure. Obviously, you're paying a premium for him, but if he doesn't miss the cut here, which he has twice in four tries, he finishes inside the top five. So he's got a second and a fourth in two out of, you know, 4 years, he's finished inside the top five. So, really, Brooks and more so than Cantlay just for ownership, but then again, Brooks might be chalky. So, but again, I think all these guys are playable, and I think you can make it work this week. Scott would be kind of my lower owned option down there at 10,000 if you know, want to go that route. He's never played here, so might not get the course history bump there.
Yeah, you nailed it with Brooks there. It's dull or nothing with Brooks. He loves playing this course though, even though he's missed the cut here twice. He loves Vegas. His girlfriend's going to love Vegas. I bet you there's going to be a lot of friends that are loving Vegas. I think Koepka's a very interesting play here. His brother's playing in the event as well. Chase is here this week, playing here for the first time. So I think it'll be interesting with Brooks. Definitely the class of the field, like you said. I love Cantlay. I'm curious to see what Cantlay's ownership is, because it's going to take a real noob to not realize how well Patrick Cantlay has played at this golf course. And he's coming in, you know, 40th last week sucked, but he had really good form coming in. Loves this golf course. So I like him quite a bit. And then the other guy I like, if you need to go a little cheaper, but you still want one of these top tier targets. I do love Webb Simpson. He's made seven straight cuts of this event, including a win back in 13, two fourth place finishes, coming in phenomenal form. Took a couple weeks off to rest it up, of course, but he loves playing this event, and I don't mind Webb at 10-2. I think he can definitely take advantage of this field. You know, outside of Brooks and Cantlay and some of these guys up top, he's definitely one of the top guys in this field when it comes to like golf rankings and all that good stuff. So Webb at 10-2 would be my guy if you don't want to spend all the way up to Cantlay and Koepka. But if I'm coming up here, I really would like to try to get me a piece of Cantlay if I can. All right, 9K range. You got Finau 98, Matsuyama 97, Woodland 96, Morikawa 95, Neiman 94, Champ 93, Sneds 92, Hadwin 91, and Benny on at 9,000. So we got some disappointing miscuts here, some guys making their season debuts, and some young guns. What do you like in here, Jesse?
I'll just start up top with Finau, whatever. He's never missed a cut here in five tries. Nothing spectacular. Does have a seventh. That was way back in 2014. He's been playing over on the Euro Tour. Played in that pro-am we talked about last week, the Alfred Dunhill Links Championship. Finished 10th. So pretty good showing there. So I like Finau there. And then Morikawa, Neiman, more so for kind of the safe plays. I don't see either one of them missing the cut this week. So knock on some wood. Neiman finished 10th here last year, and then Morikawa was never played here, obviously, but playing very well, coming off a 10th place finish last week himself. And then Hadwin, I don't know what to do about him. I mean, he obviously had a really good showing last week. He finished really strong. But other than that, I mean, recently it's just been kind of blah for him, other than a fourth place finish at the 3M Open way back in July. You know, I don't know. I'd rather avoid the chalky Hadwin myself. He rated highly on the model, but you know, it's just one of those things where you kind of got to pick your battles or whatever. So for me, really, it's Morikawa, Neiman, and Finau in this range. Finau,
yeah, Finau. I do like the Tony Finau call for sure. Five straight cuts here, like you said, coming in really good form. Loves this course. I don't hate that at all. Morikawa, I think, is going to go super overlooked in this range. I hope, just because there's a lot of big names up here, but maybe his recent play will get him here. But if you get a low one Morikawa up here, I'm a big fan of that. 10th place last week at the Safeway. We know how well he finished the season. I think this is a good spot for Morikawa as well. Gary Woodland at 96 really has my attention. It's his first event of the year. He hasn't played since the playoffs, but he's finished 10th here last year and 18th the year before. Really likes playing here at the Shriners. I think Woodland at 96 can be really nice because he kind of, you know, he burned a few people as he finished the year not so strong after that U.S. Open win. I think this might be a good way to him to get back on track and get ready for another big season coming up here. So I think Woodland at 96 is really good. And then I want to ask you, Jesse, because I am really tempted, really, really tempted. Hideki Matsuyama at $9,700. You know, he's coming in off that miscut here. He hasn't – or miscut last week. He hasn't played here in 4 or 5 years. We finished 10th. The only time he's played here. Matsuyama at 97. And then you got Benny on coming off that miscut. Finished 32nd here 2 years ago. These are two guys that we know can contend in tournaments, especially Matsuyama. Both should probably get pretty good low ownership because they pissed a lot of people off last week. What's your thoughts on playing the ownership game with those two? Two guys that are really good talents in a field like this.
Yeah, I mean, I think Ben On will be popular. I just feel like he always is. There's not a whole lot of weeks when he's not. The last time he was below 10% ownership was the Northern Trust back in August. And, you know, I mean, even after a miscut, you know, at the Travelers at the Rocket Mortgage Classic the next week out, he was still, you know, 18% owned. I feel like Decky would be the one that would be the lower owned GPP option there. A little bit higher price on him. And then obviously come off the miscut. So it'll be interesting to see how those shake out. I would probably lean Decky over Ben, but I mean, I'm just like, of course, this last week was the first week I played Ben on, and I don't remember the last time I did, and he misses the cut. So, you know, there it is. So it's probably really my fault.
Yeah, no, I'm tempted to go to Matsuyama. Like on I could probably pass on, but I think Matsuyama is an interesting pivot here to see ownership-wise to go with the Woodlands and Morikawa and Finaus of the world up top there. So I'm curious to see how that one plays out. Let's get into the 8K range here. You got Fratelli at 89, Scheffler at 88, Reavie 87, Kokrak 86, CH3 85, Glover 84, Poston 83, Wolf making his season debut at 82, Putnam 81, Smith 8,000. I'm going to make a lineup of a lot of just these guys and see how it turns out, because I'm really pumped on this 8K range, especially even cash-wise. What's your thoughts on this $8,000 range?
Yeah, I agree. A lot of plays here. Start with the CH3, and I know you mentioned him last week. And his Safeway history was not very good, and he turns into a fourth place finish. Somebody actually asked me before the tournament started, like, you know, what do you think about CH3? He's like, finished. He's got a bunch of 50th place finishes at the Safeway. You know, doesn't really intrigue me very much. And of course, he goes out and finishes fourth, so that's great. But he's obviously playing pretty well to finish fourth there, and he's the West Coast guy, as we know. Obviously not totally on the West Coast, but still close. Then also Chez, Scotty Scheffler, Fratelli, I think they're all playable. Scheffler in particular, he's never played here, but he gets, he's coming off the – he didn't play last week, did he?
No, he took last week off, which surprised a lot of people.
Coming off the 16th place finish there at the Sanderson, and then the 7th at the Greenbrier, playing really well. And with some of these names around him, I feel like his ownership potentially could be a little bit depressed. I'm not 100% sure. Chez, too. I mean, his course history here is very mixed, but he's playing some pretty solid golf. And then Matthew Wolf, too, at 8,200, man. I mean, like, just another one of those young guns. He's obviously got a win under his belt, and he hasn't played, I don't guess, any golf in a while. At least I don't have on labs here. So CH3, Scheffler, and Wolf would be my three main picks out of this bunch. But like you said, there's a lot to like here.
Yeah, there's a lot to like here. Fratelli, I was all over him last week, finished seventh. He's seventh and sixth in his last two events of this fall swing. First time here, but I like him quite a bit coming into this field. Scheffler, I love. We've been on him pretty much every time since the Greenbrier. And I think he's in another great spot, just like you said, coming in amazing form, finishing up that Corn Ferry Tour. Reavy, big fan of him. I was surprised. He wasn't as owned as I thought he'd be last week in that field. And I wondered if people stay away from him this week. You know, looking at course history, it's very mixed, like you said, but playing outstanding golf. So I'm a big fan of that. CH3 is just the lock and load. I anything can happen in golf. But with him at that price in this field, I will take that made cut with upside any day of the week. He's really liked playing here. You mentioned the fourth last week. Like him a lot. And then the other two guys that I'm looking at is JT Poston. I've been riding him quite a bit. Missed the cut here last year, fourth the year before, then a missed cut. But coming in an outstanding form, an 11th at the Sanderson. And then he finished the PGA Tour playoffs very, very strong. And the last guy in this range for me would be Andrew Putnam. Coming in good form, finished 21st at the Sanderson. Missed the cut here 2 years ago. 33rd, the only other time he came here. But he's a guy that we know can get birdies and get rolling if things start clicking right. So Putnam, I think, can get a low ownership at $8,100. Could be an interesting look here in Vegas. All right, $7,500 and above. Jesse, give me some of the guys you're looking at.
Let's start with Scott Piercy at $7,900. Played here a lot. I think he's a local.
Yes, he is.
So he's got that narrative going, finished 10th here last year. His only miscut was back in 2013, since 2012. He's got the course knowledge, yada, yada, yada. Hasn't missed a cut on tour since the Canadian Open back in June. So him first and foremost. Brian Harman, $7,800, three straight made cuts here, but those were back in 16, 15, and 13. Coming off a 14th place finish at the Sanderson's Farms, and then fourth the week before that at the Greenbrier. So playing some good golf. I will go back to Grillo this week. I think it's a pride thing more than anything else. I was looking at his history and like going back to the last time he missed two cuts in a row was back in 2017. It was August 2017. It was the PGA Championship followed by the Wyndham. So I like him to make the cut this week. I don't think many people will put him in a cash lineup, and I think he's borderline cash. Just for that reason, he seems to bounce back very well off a missed cut. And then two more, Aaron Wise at $7,500. He's got good course history, three straight made cuts here. Hasn't missed a cut since the Canadian Open again back in June. And then Rory Sabatini, man, not really like way up on the model because his course history here is not good. But I feel like just he's playing better golf than
it's
that.
It's a different Sabs. Different Sabs.
Yeah, would allow there. So I think he's most people will probably lay off because of the course history being so trash. I mean, literally like one made cut in 7 appearances. So not good. GPP flyer there. I mean, let's say flyer. He's a GPP play only, in my opinion, at 7,500. But yeah, Piercy for sure. Griot and then Wise would be my like 3 faves.
Okay. I agree with Piercy. I'm curious to see what the chalkiness of him is, but he loves this place. Yeah, so
I know.
Really good play. And he played well Thursday and Friday, and then he has chunk slammed on the weekend to finish 67th. It was bad because he was looking good for my GPP type play. And then, yeah, well, he did what GPP plays do. Let's just put it that way. Brian Harman, I love. It's a guy I rode late into the season. Very consistent, playing really good golf right now. His tee to green game is pretty darn strong. And you mentioned, you know, he hasn't played here in a while. But when he played here, he played well. And then he, you know, 14th at the Sanderson, 3rd at the Greenbrier, and a good finish to the season. So I do like Harman quite a bit. Abraham Answer is interesting. He missed the cut last week by a stroke. Missed a putt on 18 to get in. Finished 4th here last year. Someone to keep an eye on there. If you want to go course history narrative, I do like HV3 quite a bit. He's finished 15th here last year, made 2 previous cuts, finished 17th last week at the Safeway, 19th at the Greenbriars, coming in good form at 7,600. And then 2 other guys that really stood out to me as like, what the heck happened? Well, one guy, what the heck happened pricing. We'll talk about the other guy first. I'll save the what the heck guy for a minute here. But Jim Furyk at 75 on a course that's less than driver. We saw what he just did at the Safeway last weekend. It's not flashy, but if you're playing cash, it works. Finished 17th at the Safeway. He missed the cut here last year back in 09. He finished 4th. But just kind of short little courses like this, he can dink and dunk, make cuts, and maybe be productive in a cash lineup. But the $7,500, Keegan Bradley, he finished 7th here 3 years ago. He finished 24th at the Greenbrier. Had a really good season last year. I was kind of surprised and confused by this pricing. Maybe you can tell me why if you have any ideas, but Keegan Bradley in a field like this at $7,500 seems like it's like they're begging me to play him. Maybe it's bait that I shouldn't take, but I'm really intrigued with his upside at $7,500.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, he does have like you said, 7th place finish in 2016 here. Yeah, I could see that. I mean, I don't know why he's at $7,500. That's a really good question. So, yeah, GPP wise, I think that would be an all right play for sure.
Yeah, it's kind of what I was thinking. But 7,400 and below, what are you looking at there?
Sebastian Munoz, man. I mean,
yep.
Hell. I mean, the dude's coming off, you know, obviously the win 2 weeks ago and then a solid showing at the Safeway where he's in the final group, just played like shit on Sunday. Maybe he's wore out. I mean, could be a little bit of it. I don't know. But, you know, for a GPP, I think at $7,400, it'd be worth it. Nick Watney had a really good showing last week. He was actually in contention for a while. 65 on Friday, excuse me, and then finished 10th. He is like his last few tournaments have been 10th miscut, 59th miscut, 6th miscut. The definition of a GPP play, as my friend Bubba would say there. Cameron Percy, I mentioned him last week, $7,000. Yes. 2 of 3 made cuts at this golf course. 7th place finish last week, 11th the week before that, $7,000. Okay, sure, 100%. Yeah,
that was surprising too. That price tag is very surprising for the talent he has right now.
Yeah, I mean, so. He's playing really well. 2 straight, basically top 11s. It's, but whatever, TK.
Yeah, yeah, this is the algorithm's weird these days. And Dire Work, if you come join us in the Slack chat, he's working on he noticed some difference already because this is what he does. Between FanDuel, DraftKings, and SuperDraft pricing. There's some outliers. So he's keeping a little spreadsheet trying to figure it out to see if we can find value in certain places. Some of these guys might pop out because I just look at DraftKings only and they stand out to me here. Maybe they correlate somewhere else. I have no idea. But some of the guys I'm looking at, if you want course history narrative, you got Kevin Streelman who's made 9 of 9 cuts here. He's missed a cut at Safeway, 4th at the Sanderson, missed cut at the Greenbrier. So coming in sketchy-ass form, but he's made 9 straight cuts here in Vegas. So if you want to go course history, go for it. I think I might gamble elsewhere, but he's an interesting guy to keep an eye on that does like playing here. Bud Cauley, I loved him last week. He finished 10th here last year, 44th at the Safeway, 14th at the Greenbrier. I can go back to Bud at 74. I like the upside there. Another course history guy to take a peek at would be a guy that you usually are on, but maybe the sheet's not pointing it to you. He's 5 of 5 on cuts here, including a third back in 14. He finished 15th last week at the Safeway, 46th at the Sandersons. Russell Knox really likes playing this golf course. I'm going to go right back to the guy I loved last week in Lanto Griffin. He's a birdie machine, 17th at the Safeway, 11th at Sanderson, 13th at the Greenbrier. I'll go back to him at $7,200. I think that's a lot of value on a birdie type course like this. You can have some fun there. Another guy we talked about a lot towards the end of last year because he came back from medical. He's only played here once and missed the cut back in 14-15. But Daniel Berger finished 23rd at the Safeway. He's another one of those guys that I know Jesse likes to talk about a lot because his talent level is better than his price tag. He's just coming back from injury, so that we get him at a discount. Eventually, Berger's going to pop. And you never know. $7,200 is quite interesting. Johnny Vegas, it's in the name, right? No, I'm just kidding. that's the easy way out. But he has played well here. He's made 5 of 6 cuts, including a fifth-place finish. He's 72. And then I love your Percy call at 7K. That just seems silly. And then the last guy I'll mention, I talked about it in the chat with Dirework earlier today. He finished 10th at the Safeway, missed the cut at the Sanderson, 24th at the Greenbrier. He's made 5 straight cuts here. Is Nick Taylor at $7,100. Another guy that's usually much better than that price point. So I don't mind him at all. So I know I mentioned a lot of guys, but I think you can differentiate if you want to take some chalk higher up in the 7K range, especially bottom 7. There's some decent talent down here that you can play the ownership game if you need to. All right, 6K, Jesse, where are you looking?
Yeah, I mean, it's not like it has been in the last few weeks down here, but there are definitely some plays. Peter Uihlein, 6,900, finished 23rd here last year and is coming off a 23rd place finish at the Sanderson's Farms, 36th the week before that at the Greenbrier. Robbie Shelton at 6,900 as well, never played here, but has made every cut he's had on the PGA Tour since he started this year. So 3 of 3 this year, 52nd, 28th, and 7th at $6,900. Aaron Baddeley, his course history is pretty good. 10th missed cut, 33rd, 8th, 38th, and that's kind of spread out. Obviously, his last start here was in 2017. 33rd last week, 2 straight missed cuts before that. If he just gets it in the fairway and then gets it on the green, he's a really good putter. So you never know. And kind of just feeding off the old Aussies play well here narrative, which I don't know if anybody's made that up yet or not. But those are really the only guys. I mean, I think you go back to Sepp Straka at 63.
He's always a GPP play. It's going to happen, man. The talent's too good.
The problem is he's missed 4 straight cuts.
It's his putter. His problem is his freaking putter.
The problem has just been absolute fucking trunk slams.
Yep.
Some epic, like, just can't figure it out coming down the stretch trunk slams. It's frustrating, but like,
let's double the last 2 holes. Let's do it.
Yeah. I mean, it's it's quite amazing. Max Homa's down here too, which is
that surprised me.
Pretty crazy. I mean, his course history is not very good. Miscut 30th, but he has won in the last year. Taylor Gooch is down here. Grayson Murray. I mean, I'm not really huge fans of any of these guys, but I would stick with Uihlein and Shelton if I'm down below 6,000.
Yeah, but the point you were just naming off names there, and I wrote down a bunch too, is there are some interesting GPP options. Like, there's past winners down here, and like that says a lot. Like, when you're looking for GPP plays, you're looking for guys that can win. So they're down here. They're just sketchy as hell because of the way they're playing. But like, Max Homa took a big break. Didn't play that great at the Safeway, but made the cut. He's one of those guys that can catch fire. Straka is so good. I know people that listen to the show probably are getting annoyed by you and I's love for Sepp Straka, but I know for one, we're not the only ones, because I listen to other shows after we record on Mondays, and we are not the only ones saying Sepp Straka, because the talent is legit. It's just, like, eventually it'll click, and it's going to be awesome to say, like, hey, we were there when it all began. But I probably won't own him that week either. That's the fun part.
No way.
But like some of the guys I like I was all over Brunson Berghoon last week. He missed the cut by a freaking stroke. He came in amazing form. He's a birdie machine. He's missed both cuts here before. So if you don't want to take the gamble, I get it. He's an upside play. But if you want like course history guys down here, Troy Merritt has played really, really – I believe he's a Vegas guy. I could be totally wrong, but I think he's a Vegas guy. He's made 5 of 7 cuts here. Missed a cut at the Safeway, 48th at the Greenbrier. So he's a guy you can target. Another kind of mispriced guy to me, maybe not to everybody else, but to me, finished 49th at Safeway, 61st at the Sanderson, 15th here last year, 25th a few years before that. Siwoo Kim at $6,900 stands out to me as a little too cheap for his talent level. I know he can be sketchy, but he should be a little more expensive than $6,900. You mentioned Shelton, who I like quite a bit. Baddeley was on my list. Another guy, maybe not to win a tournament, but if you need a discount just to make a cut and make you feel better, especially with the cut rates these days with this new 65. I think like 18 more guys got burned this last week. It's making a difference. But Brendan Steele at $6,600. You know, he was hurt a lot last year when things weren't going too well. Got healthy. You know, he missed the cut here last year, but prior to that, he made 5 of 6 cuts. Finished 60th at the Safeway, 36th at the Greenbrier. He's a guy you can take a look at. Scott Stallings at $6,500. He's made 3 of his last 4 cuts here. Finished 28th at the Sanderson. Patrick Rogers is a guy I like a lot. I think his talent's really good for $6,500. I think you can take advantage of that. He made 41st here last year. Made all 3 cuts so far at the 3 tournaments in the fall swing. And then the last guy, and I'm not saying play him, but just keep an eye out for reports. He might be a play later this week, but he's an injury guy coming back from injury. He's made 3 straight cuts here. He has not played in a long time, but he's got 28th, a 77th, and a 15th the last 3 years at this tournament. James Hahn is $6,300. Just throwing him out there. Ooh. When he's locked in, he can play well, but try to hear anything. If I don't hear anything, I'm not playing him at all. But he's a guy that really likes Vegas. He likes West Coast courses. Someone to keep in mind, but not a must by any means. I heard your reaction. I completely get it. It's not a must play, but when I was digging into things, he's been gone for so long. You'll get him at like less than 1%, and hey, you never know. But yeah, it's messy to say the least. All right, you gave some of your recaps, but we'll do it again real quick for those keeping track at home. Jesse, who's your one guy 10K and above?
I'm gonna have to say Brooks.
Yeah, it's hard not to say Brooks. I'll say Cantlay to give a different answer, but Brooks is the man. Like if he wants it, he can win this, I think, pretty easily. Two guys in the 9K.
Morikawa and Neiman.
I'm going to go with Woodland and Morikawa. Those would be my two. 8K range, give me two guys.
Scheffler and Chucky 3-6.
Yeah, you got Chucky, so I'll take Fratelli and Reavy. I think those are all really good plays, all 4 of those. Give me two guys, 7,500 and above.
Piercy and Griot.
I'll go Harmon and Keegan Bradley. Give me three guys, 7,400 and below.
Munoz. I like your Lanto Griffin call. I always forget about him. So I do like him as well. And Piercy.
Yeah, I'll take Bud Cauley. I'll take Lanto and Nick Taylor. Percy's a good call too, though. I'll take Nick Taylor to be a little different there. And then give me two guys in 6K. We named a lot of guys off, so let's narrow it down for him again. People need to pay attention. GPP plays and plays we feel confident in are like two different things. So remember that. But give me two guys in the 6K range.
Ulon and Shelton.
Yeah, for me, it's going to be Siwoo Kim. I like the Shelton call a lot. I'll go Patrick Rogers outside of Shelton. I would have gone Siwoo and Shelton. I'll go Siwoo and Patrick Rogers. All right, the moments we've been waiting for. If you are playing cash this week, give me three guys you'd start a cash lineup with.
I'd start with Chucky 3-6. I just feel like that's kind of easy call there as far as that goes. Otherwise, I think Scheffler is decent, at 8,800, and then Munoz. I mean, just the way he's playing at 7,400.
Yeah, I don't hate that. I'd go Reavy, CH3, and Keegan Bradley. Those would be my three guys, but I'm not always the biggest cash golf guy, but I really like this. It's 144 man field, so it's not 156, so fewer guys. But there's something about some of these pricing like that stand out to me that I like. So we'll see how the builds look. If you're starting a GPP lineup, give me three guys.
Whew, a GPP lineup. I do like Shelton, 6,900. So we'll go ahead and name him off. I think Aaron Wise at 7,500 is GPP-esque there. And then I would throw Cameron Percy in that mix as well.
I like that. I'm going to go our boy Percy, who loves this course and can go boom or bust. Morikawa and Siwoo Kim as GPP plays out the gate. All right, picks to win. I know it's your favorite part of the show. Who are some of the guys that you think have a chance to win this week?
Well, you got on Chuck.
Chucky Three Sticks is 55-1. There's some good odds this week.
Not terrible. Yeah, I mean, because Brooks is in there, what, at 6?
He's at 8.
8, yeah.
That's... Like Webb's 22. That's not horrible. Gary Woodland's 28. You know, we didn't even mention him once. Bubba Watson's in this field. He's 70-1.
Like, yeah.
He's risky as hell, but there's no one to be shocked if Bubba's competing come Sunday.
Yeah, that's very true. What about Wise?
Aaron Wise is 60-1. Like, there's a lot of good odds on the, like, Grillo, who could show up 75. Harman's, Nas, past winner 70.
What about Scheffler?
Scheffler, Scotty Scheffler. He's 45.
Yeah, so I would go with Chucky and Scheffler. Those would be my two picks.
I don't hate those at all. Reavy at 45, Fratelli at 45. I think this is a fun week to play some like T20 bets, T10 bets, because there's some really good odds here. You can get some fun T20 bets, I think, in here, at least like 8 or 9, 10-1 type deals. I can still get a decent payday. I think it's a fun way. We're not the best PGA gamblers. We're more DFS players, which is gambling to many. But I think that's a fun way to go about it, playing those T20s and fields, I guess, where the odds are what they are. All right, another week in the books. Jesse, any final thoughts for the Shriners Hospital for Children's Open in Las Vegas, Nevada?
I don't. It'll be another kind of late ending and late start and that kind of thing for us East Coasters. So enjoy it out there on the West Coast to get a normal time for everything to start for yourself there.
I've been loving everything about it. Like in the afternoons on the weekdays, coming home and it was on TV till 6. And then Sunday was great. It was the final day of baseball. You had football. All that ended, and I still had like 5 more holes of Cam Champ before Sunday Night Football began. It was freaking perfect.
Yep.
It was awesome. But, it should be a fun tournament. If you guys have any questions, hit us up on the Twitter or the Fantasy DGen Slack chat. It is free. Also, go check out Superdraft, a fun way to play daily fantasy sports. Use Bubba when you sign up and create your account. It'll get you a $10 deposit bonus later on. Anything else, hit up Jesse on Twitter at DFS Golf Gods. I'm at BDentric. The podcast is always at Always Press DFS. But until next time, we'll catch you guys later. The show goes on, man, till the morning.